Welcome to Store the Pop Sports on a Monday. I'm your host, JJ Vargas. I'm here with my brother, Sander Sanchez. How you doing, my man?
Doing good, baby. Ready to take on the week. How about you?
Me too, Sander. I'm very excited to get to our NFL Bowl predictions today, and I love the drama in New York right now between the Mets and the fans. But I do got to start out with the fight that we saw last night, so I'm going to get right to it. Yesterday, Jake Paul keeps proving the world wrong when he got into the ring with Tyron Woodley right there in the city of Cleveland. He was Cleveland the hell out yesterday. He had a Kyrie. He had the Cleveland Indian on the other side. He might have had LeBron in the back. I don't know, but he went out there, and he did box his heart out. Going 8 rounds with Tyron Woodley, the former UFC champ, to win in a split decision to maintain his undefeated boxing record at 4-0 now with 3 knockouts. And listen, Sander, we talked about the good and the bad and the ugly that comes with all these exhibition fights, you know, in the boxing world. And, hey, I found myself very entertained by this fight. I love the energy. You know, actually, the whole arena was packed. You know, it was funny. I forgot where I read it earlier, but I was like, damn, the Cavaliers wish that they could fill up their stadium the way that Jake Paul was able to fill up that, what is it, Quicken Loans Arena, right? I want to say it is in Cleveland. But nonetheless, I was very excited, very happy with the fight, and I love the drama after with the whole, you got to get a Jake, I love Jake Paul tattoo or whatever it was, and it's just funny to me. But nonetheless, you want to see a rematch?
I mean, I guess because that's what we're going to get, because supposedly if he got the tattoo, he'll get the rematch. But, Jay, I found myself more surprised at how entertaining this fight was actually going to be going into the fight. I didn't think it was going to be that much. I was really expecting one of these two to just slug it out, swing for the fences, and knock each other out and within, like, the first 3 rounds. But it was, you know, I guess they were actually doing their damn thing. I mean, I'm going to tell you this right now. I give Jake Paul so much more respect after this fight, because, you know, first it was you got to fight a fighter, he fights a fighter, now you got to fight a striker, he's not known for being a great striker, but I mean, he's probably one of the hardest punchers he's ever faced so far. Absolutely. I mean, if you saw that one right hook that had him on the ropes, you know, I was jumping up and down, I'm thinking, Woodley got this. But it just showed the heart of Jake Paul. The kid weathered the storm and maintained pressure and continued. Like, if Jake Paul fights a real fight, he would die. I mean, listen. You know what they say is, when you look at your favorite boxer, look at their first 5 fights and tell me if you can name them. You know what I'm saying? So let the kid start. He's just starting. But, Jay, I mean, let's be honest here, man. Jake Paul took a mean punch, probably the best punch of the entire fight, and he was still able to, you know, punker down and just go through the rounds and be the more aggressive fighter. Granted, there was this one swing where he swung with his right, but he picked up his right foot, and I'm like, oh, my God, if he ever fought a real fighter, he'd get eaten alive. He would get torn apart. So it's good that he's doing this. It's good that he's starting off slow. Because, JJ, he's not going to be fighting Canelo next year. He's not going to be fighting Berlanga. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I would also, but, you know what I'm saying? But he wants this train to keep on going for as much as it can. It's a cash cow. And quite frankly, Jay, in boxing, the state of the sport of boxing is right now, we're not seeing who we want to see fight. We're not seeing. When was the last time you saw Errol Spence fight? I'll wait.
I was hoping to see him against Pacquiao, but unfortunately,
and you saw Ugas outbox him. But when was the last time you saw Crawford fight? I'll wait. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is we're not getting the fights that we want. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure this isn't a fight that America was clamoring for. But the way in it happened and the beef that started, we wanted to see it. And guess what? We got it. So right now, this kid is doing things where he has the eyes. He has the background. He has the fans. And, you know, LeBron James tweeted right after the fight talking about Cleveland and Jake Paul. And he was – real quick, that jersey that Jake Paul wore, my God, I was telling to my brother Bolo, can you imagine if they made that for, like, a New York team or for, like, New York or Florida? Like, that right there, that is stylish. The man came out. My man Woolley looked like a 90s plastic cup, you know, the design with the cup. You know,
to me, he kind of looked like the old Taco Bell.
You're damn right about that one. you're right about that one as well. But still, nonetheless, Woodley, he actually produced, like, he performed well enough to grant him a rematch, because Jake Paul knew. I felt like when Jake Paul took that punch, and he went to that corner, he looked up. He was like,
what the hell
have I gotten into? Like, I got to survive this.
And let's be honest. Let's be honest. That's the first time he traveled to deep water.
Oh, yeah. And that was the first time I've actually ever seen him get rocked. Like, he went through the top rope. Like, if the ropes were, like, 4 feet tall, like, he would have went right over it. But still, nonetheless, I was happy because I was more excited at the competition. Like, I thought, like I said, going into this, it was going to be two wild guys swinging for the fences, huffing and puffing by the third round. But no, they actually put on a good show. And to your point, the undercard was good as well. Minus my girl wearing the Team Jordan Serrano, you know, minus her wearing the Yoldangs. She still got it done. She still got her dub, you know. Maybe with what she got, maybe she could buy herself some Concord 11s and look better in the next fight. But still, she did her thing.
And my girl right gotta go to Eblen's, get some legit J's on her feet.
For real, we're not rocking teams over here. But none. hey, even the fight before that, where the African American kid. Yeah. No. That was the first fight. I think that was the second fight of the night. The fight right before the kid that got knocked out, the white boy that got knocked out, that was a good fight too. You know, I mean, the card, it is what it is, Jay. Listen, if you're a boxing purist, like I've been screaming forever, if you're a boxing purist who loves boxing, Canelo, Triple G, all that stuff, and you watch this expecting that, you're going to be very disappointed. You're going to talk a lot of shit and you're going to say this hurt boxing. But if you go in it, like we said, for what it is, then this was actually pretty entertaining. And the fact that I'm okay with seeing a Woodley Paul 2 because of what happened in this last fight, if it was more like Jake Paul dominated the whole fight and went to unanimous decision and then Woodley asked for a rematch,
I'd be like, this ain't Nate Robinson waking up and talking about, let's fight.
This dude actually, you know, did well enough to cracked Jake a few times in the fight. I feel like the most powerful punches that landed were from Woodley, even though Jake Paul was obviously the guy that was putting in the more work. So it was entertaining, Jake. I don't think this hurt boxing one bit. You want to know why? Because it's not boxing, Jay. It's an exhibition. It's a spectacle. It's a spectacle. That's all what it is. I'm excited because, you know what? We're not seeing the fights we want in boxing. UFC Dana White isn't gonna all of a sudden make a boxing anytime soon, even though he should. I'm with you, Jay. But I'm with you, Jay. He should. But unfortunately, Jay, the way the boxing world is right now, with guys being inactive for years and years, holding titles basically hostage, holding divisions hostage, basically, this is what we're gonna turn to for our other source of entertainment, our other boxing, like to get the boxing itch off. You know, because even after the Pacquiao fight that wasn't not too long ago, it wasn't really that great to watch. Like, I wasn't excited watching the fight at all. It was boring.
It was because, you know, we thought it was going to be Pacquiao and Spence. That's what it was. 100%. And we were just disappointed. Like, 100%. If we knew off the rip it was going to be Pacquiao versus Ugas, then your expectation levels are a little
would have been lower. You are right, Spence. 100%. You 100%. But the thing is, like, you know, boxing's in a place right now where because there's no one guy to answer to, and everybody, like my man Shay Shay said, everybody wants to be like Floyd Mayweather. Everybody wants to be undefeated. And Jay, in boxing, the undefeated record isn't as important. Like the greatest of all times have lost. Ali has lost. Foreman has lost. Frazier has lost. Tyson lost. Lomachenko, who was a pound for pound, like what, like a year ago?
Holyfield, Triple G, Canelo,
they all lose, man. So the fact that in boxing, we're like these guys are so worried about being undefeated and not losing, we're never going to get the fights that we want. Like back in the days, the Roberto Duran, you know, fighting. Just the fights that you wanted to see, the toughest guy versus the toughest guy, we don't get that anymore, and it's sad. So, unfortunately, we're going to go ahead and run away with these Jake Paul shows and all that because it's entertaining at the end of the day as well as, you know, we want to see it. So, Jay, I'm excited because, you know what, I would love to see a Woodley and Jake Paul too. and see the undercard under that, because the undercard was great for this one too. Tyson Fury's brother, you know, he fought four rounds, you know, did his work. I would actually like to see him fight more than just four rounds. I know he's a prospect, yeah, but if you look at him, the man was a beautiful specimen. God bless Tyson Fury's brother, because the dude had the look, the potential, and he's at that age right now where he's a sponge. So he has the potential of being up there with the elites real quick. But Jake Paul Woodley 2J, sign me up, take my money. I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, because if it happens, that means that most likely or not, Tyron Woodley is going to get the I Love Jake Paul tattoo, as they mentioned after the fight. And just that alone would be enough for me to watch it again. And listen, Sander, after the fight, you know, the data came out and it said that Jake Paul versus Woodley 2 is the second ranking pay-per-view of the year behind Logan Paul and Mayweather. So look at that. The Paul brothers have the top two pay-per-view events of the year to this point, which I saw a funny status somewhere on Facebook. I want to say it's like, oh, when are we going to get the Paul versus Paul fight? What, are the brothers ever going to fight each other? Is that going to be the pay-per-view event in the next few years that's really like going to blow up one day? Who knows? I'm sure their fans would definitely enjoy to see it, but I think that the brotherhood between them two, I doubt they ever fight each other. It's kind of like the whole, you know, how Francis Ngannou and Adesanya with the whole African pride, how they just won't fight each other. Kind of like that. But nonetheless, they're brothers, and they are killing right now the marketing business of boxing. And a lot of guys that are professional boxers should take some hints from these guys, because if they're amateurs and if they're pulling in the money that they're not, who's in the wrong? Who's doing it better? Sure, you're a better boxer than me, but I pull a bigger crowd and I'm making more money than you're going to make all year in one night. So who's really winning and who's really losing? Nonetheless, I was very entertained by this, Sander. I think that Woodley, you know, past like the third and fourth round started picking it up, but I think that he is failing a hole way too early, Sander. He only threw six punches in the first round and only landed one. So you're already automatically behind a round. And when you're fighting for eight rounds, winning a round is more at a premium than it is, because if you tell Tyron Woodley, yo, you could take Jake Paul 12 rounds, you know that he's going to take him 10 to 12 and he's going to beat him because Jake said after the fight, yo, my legs are weak. My legs were wobbly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the first time he ever got pushed past the third round, and the endurance really showed in that point, Sander. Yes, but listen, not to say that I was impressed by Jake Paul out there, but I definitely got to say that, you know, it was nice to see him fight an actual other fighter who presented such a challenge for him. And I was all for it. I really can't wait to see what's going to come out of this event, because look at those blows. That left right there, that's the one that I think woke him up. And then like the one that you mentioned, that the rope basically saved his life, because he was really going to tip over, you know. But nonetheless, you know, he hung in there with a 39-year-old vet. Jake Paul being the 24-year-old, you could definitely see the youth is on his side. And I think that being at 24 in the prime physique of his life, I could only see him going up from here. But I just think he needs to be very careful who his next fights are, considering after Tyron Woodley.
Oh, of course, because he wants to ride this train as far as he can go. And Jay, I don't knock him for what he's doing right now, because he's building his record up. He's doing what every other great boxer has done, has built up the record, built it up to a point where they can get a mega fight. And he's doing his damn thing. He, you know, there was a stat that was on Twitter yesterday after the Jake Paul fight. $748 million were betted on the fight yesterday. Yeah. So it's like, I don't care what anybody says. Lomachenko might be nasty. Errol Spence might be one of the best. Terrence Crawford is definitely pound for pound on the top. But guess what? None of those guys combined are bringing the numbers that this kid is bringing. So it's only helping. Crazy. It's only helping his case. And because, Jay, a lot of these fighters that he had on this card, they weren't making a lot of money. So him taking actually a pay cut from his own purse to give more to the fighters that are on the card, because Tyron Woodley has never made the amount of money in one fight that he's made in this Jake Paul fight. So it just says a lot. It's amazing and it's sad. Dana, stop giving these guys 10%. Give them close to 30 or over 40 like any other league that's out here. 10% just doesn't cut it for these fighters, because you got fighters putting up GoFundMe pages just so they could train for their next fight. So it's really sad the way the money situation is for some of these fighters. But hey, if it's going to get you your best payday to go ahead and step out of the octagon and try and fight this kid, then go ahead, go for it. And these UFC fighters, Nate Diaz, Connor. Well, not so much Connor, because Connor's set. You know what I mean? 300 yeah, plus million in the bank, he's set. But, you know, and I'm sure Nate Diaz got his, you know, got his change. But guys like Nate Diaz, guys like, you know, just other guys that are on the lower
tier. What are we talking about today? Frankie Edgar's still fighting?
Frankie Edgar's about to fight in a few weeks, which is damn. I remember so when he was
fighting. You don't think Tony Ferguson would try to box somebody too? For a good paycheck?
But the thing is, Jay, what the thing about the UFC is you got to – it depends on the fighter because Tony Ferguson is still under contract with Dana. So you please believe that if anybody who's on the active roster on the UFC, Dana's going to want to cut. The only reason why Woodley really went out and did it is because he got let go from the UFC.
He's a free agent.
Yeah. So he's good to do everything he wants. But if Jake Paul gets to that point, which – He has the potential, Jay. If he is smart about who he's fighting and doesn't try to overdo it just to try and look tough, dude, build your career the way it's supposed to be done. Listen, Mayweather wasn't fighting undefeated dudes in the first five fights. Manny Pacquiao, I mean, Tyson Fury's brother who just fought, he fought a guy who was 15 and 111. Okay, so build up your. Don't worry about the noise. Listen, the
how
boxing
do you lose
series,
that many times, yo?
All I'm saying is, how do you continue after the 50th loss? Like, why do you keep on? I want to know how many losses he has in a row. That's what I really want to know. But you know, Jake, for real, like all these boxing heads, you know, oh, it's damaging boxing. Listen, Jake Paul, cut all that noise. You're doing what a lot of these greats have done when they first started. Building a name off these no names or guys that who aren't at their level. If you was expecting Jake Paul's first fight to be against Canelo and his second fight to be against Triple G, then you sound like a clown because that's just not how it never works. It never works like that. So I like what the kid is doing. The kid is doing well. He's doing it for a good cause. He's getting these fighters paid. You know, he's doing it for the kids. Yeah, whatever, man. If he wants to make videos driving Lambos and making ugly rap videos, go ahead. But the kid is doing something, and I can't knock it.
Me neither, Sander. Before I wrap up this blog of ours, I just want to say that I really do appreciate his final take after the fight. You know, he does have – I forgot the exact name of his foundation, but it's basically an anti-bullying foundation that he runs. You know, he admitted himself that he was a bully at some point and that he found insecurity about it and eventually grew out of it, and now he's encouraging kids to take on boxing or any other outlet for confidence, you know, to try to avoid not only being a bully if you're a bully, but also stand up to the bullies that are bullying you. So, you know, anybody that watches our show, I'm sure at some point or another you've been bullied or maybe been a bully, and you know, hopefully you get past that stage of your life or was able to get past it, because nobody wants to ever make another person feel lower than what they should be, because I think that we all walk equally on this earth to one degree or another.
100%. That was beautifully what he said at the end. I was all for it, you know, and it's for a great cause. Like, you, if you don't like Jake Paul, it's really like it has to be some either haterness, or because you can't look at everything that he's doing and then still sit there and be like, oh, fuck this guy. I'm like, dude, you got to give credit where credit is due. He does not have to get paid to get punched in the face. He can make YouTube videos burning out in Lambos with beautiful women on the beach if he wants. He lives in Puerto Rico, by the way, in a beautiful estate. So
you saw the belt?
You saw
the trunks? He got the Puerto Rico flag. He had the LED lights.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, you can't knock this kid. The kid is doing, basically making every right step, every step of the way. You know, he's building, guys. He's not a finished project. Even in last night's fight, he still has a lot of work to do. So I can't knock this kid, man. I respect him more, especially after fighting Woodley. If he fights him again and beats him, that's even more respect. The next thing, but Jay, he can go down from here. After this, it's all up from here. Like, you got to start looking at ex-boxers or maybe a Oscar De La Hoya if he still wants to throw down. Because I saw a pay-per-view picture with him and Vitor Belfort in a boxing match. I'm like, what the hell is De La Hoya doing? But, hey, Jake Paul just has to be smart. Don't go in there trying to be tough. Continue being smart. And you'll reach literally where you want to reach. Well, will that be a right hand from Canelo? or will that be a right upper hook from Berlanga? But either or, you're gonna reach your destination. Just let it keep on simmering, Jay. Let this keep on marinating. You know, yeah. I feel like a year and a half from now, we're gonna look at this and we're gonna be like, damn, either he's winning or he's losing. We're gonna be like, damn, what a run that was.
Yeah, and we'll definitely remember it. And if there is a Tyron Woodley versus Jake Paul too, just a mental note, Woodley will be 40 at that point. So and he'll be 25. So the age gap will be even wider.
And 5 losses in a row.
Exactly. So I don't know. If I'm Tyron Woodley, I know that my pride and my ego might be in the way and really want to get in the ring to try to get a win. Also the payday. You know what I mean? But, hey, you could avoid further embarrassment, Woodley. You know what I mean? You losing to Jake Paul is a little bit of a stain on your resume. Sure, it makes your pockets fat, but nonetheless, I'm excited. I hope it happens again. But Sander, I do want to transition to the MLB because the Mets, they're playing pretty well, but they don't want to give their fans no love because they're over here and they're playing well. They're currently behind their third place in the NL East at the moment, but as you see right now, thumbs down. They don't want to hear no love from the Mets fans. They're like, hey, when we're down, you guys like to boo us. So now that we're doing good, boo you guys. You know what I mean? We don't want that fake love. You know what I mean? And I found it very interesting because you remember a couple years ago, the thumbs down thing was in New York with the Yankees. Remember with the fan that was just like,
yep.
You know what I mean? But nonetheless, the reporters caught up with Javi Baez for him to explain what it's all about. So take a listen.
What's the thumbs down celebration after a big hit mean?
This is the boos that we get. You know, we like... We're not machines. We're gonna struggle, you know. We're gonna struggle 7 times out of 10, and you know, it just feels bad when we strike out. When I strike out and I get booed, you know, it doesn't really get to me. But like I want to let them know that when we success, we're gonna do the same thing to let them know how it feels, you know.
First of all, God bless the little Nene on his lap, you know, his son's cute kid, you know, but there you go. Heavy bias really expresses what it's about. And as a player, you never want to get booed. It's definitely the worst thing that a player could experience is just going through the downs and kick you while you're down. But nonetheless, Sander, are you team Mets players or are you with the fans?
I'm team fans, Jay. And I got really upset listening to Baez talk because, listen, bro, it's not their fault that you guys are playing under your potential. You guys are 63 and 67 right now with all-stars. What, Jacob the GOAT? I mean, the Grom. So all this noise about, oh, when we do bad, they like to bull. Yeah, because you guys aren't supposed to be doing bad. You guys have the roster to be up in that division, to be at least fighting for the 1 or 2 spot. But no. Let me just give you a list, Jay. Last year, they went 26-34. 19, they went 86-76. No playoffs. In 2018, they went 77-85. No playoffs. For the last 4 years, they've gone to the playoffs not once. And it's looking like it's about to be a fifth straight year with no playoffs, dude. So I don't want to hear this noise from Baez because, quite frankly, these fans have every right to boo because you guys, Pete Alonso, you guys got Lindor. You guys got Baez in that before the trade deadline. And you guys got the GOAT, DeGrom. You know what I'm saying? So there's no excuses for you guys to be in third or fourth place and not making the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years. And this year would be a fifth if you don't make it. So I'm all team fans on this because they deserve better. They pay expensive money for these tickets to see you guys stink it up. So don't come at dumb. Don't come at them sideways because they're expressing what you guys are showing on the field. Now, on the flip side, the fact that you got to be the bigger person as a player. You can't be out here trying to show out the fans because at the end of the day, they pay your salary because they come to the game. And the reason why you guys get paid is because they come to the game. So don't even try and turn this on the fans and make it seem like, oh, you know, we're going to do it to you guys because to let you know how it feels because it don't feel so good. Dude, stop being so goddamn emotional. Do your job, get to work, and be better. Plain and simple, Jay. This Mets team, they had a run a few years ago, and they went to the World Series, and they got mollywopped, okay? After that World Series, we were thinking the Mets were going to be a powerhouse with Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and what happened? What happened, Jay? It all fell apart. So these fans have every damn right to feel how they feel. Baez, the fact that you went out and tried to talk about the fans, no, you were wrong, bro. Talk about how your play is the reason why the fans are booing. You talking about, oh, I strike out. Dude, you strike out over 250 times in a season because you're one of the best pure hitters. You're not that real big home run blaster, bro. You are a miniature-sized dude that plays shortstop, and you have the potential to be hitting it everywhere. Line drive, singles, doubles, stealing base. But no, because you're so enamored with the home run that you've struck it out already more than 200 times this season, that's why they're booing you, because they don't want to see you try and just swing for the fences every time. They actually want to see baseball, not home runs. You feel me? So the Mets as an entire organization right now should just look themselves in the mirror and stop blaming the fans for booing. Blame yourselves, because you guys are a reflection off of them. So if you guys play bad, what do you want them to do? Cheer you on, bro, after seeing you strike out four times in two games? No, absolutely not, Jay. I do not give these Mets a pass, because like I said, you look at this roster, Jay, there's no excuse for them to at least be competing for second place. But no, that's not the case with the Mets. It's always the same BS with them. These fans are tired of seeing this, so they're going to get that reaction. In New York, this isn't Chicago, baby boy. This isn't Chicago Cubs, Wrigley Field. No, this is New York. This is the Mecca. And on top of that, you went to the sister team. You went to the New York Mets, an organization that's thriving and just basically they're worse than the Clippers. They really, 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 really won a World Series ring.
At least the Mets made it there.
You're right. As a matter of fact, you're right. This is the Clippers. Yeah. This is the Mets. But hey, Jay, but that says a lot, bro. These fans, if I was a New York Mets fan right now, I'd be pissed. Pissed, like 100% pissed. I wouldn't even be watching my Mets right now. They're 63 and 67. They're not even above 500 right now. So there's no reason for me to cheer. There isn't. Unless these guys can go. And let me bring it back a few years back. Remember when the Mets were up like 15 games in like the last month of baseball? And in that last month of baseball, they fell all the way. That's what I'm trying to say, Jay.
I mean, standard. Let's not forget, maybe like a couple months ago when the Mets beat the Yankees in the Bronx and they felt like, oh, New York is our town now.
Yeah, they took that first game and they're like, yo, we run this. And then what happened was they realized they came down to earth. They stopped eating the mushrooms. Like, look, man. Right now, the way the Mets are playing, just this season is over for them. There's no way they can make up enough games to try and come up. But come next season, if they don't make any like noise to try and at least compete for that division crown, or maybe compete with the Dodgers and compete with the Padres,
at least the wild card. Jeez,
something, Jay, but something. But these Mets fans need something, man, because for the past 5 years, matter of fact, I'll go deeper than that. But since that World Series appearance that they had, they haven't done nothing. They haven't been exciting. I mean, Pete Alonso's out here winning home run titles and home run derbies, but that's about it. So, Jay, these fans have nothing to cheer for. So you're going to get booed, especially when you guys got superstars on your team, superstars, and you guys are five games under 500 with like 2 months left of baseball left. Are you kidding me? And you want to blame the fans and try and be like, oh, we're going to do it to you so you can see how it feels? Dude, how about this? You get better at playing baseball, man, and stop hitting the home run and actually try and hit, bro. Because
that's a great hobby bias impersonation.
If I was a Mets fan, I'm a boo too. I'm a boo too with the Mets jersey on so they could see who I am. Because it's embarrassing. It's disrespectful to the fans. You thinking that your production on – do you believe if you go up to bat at four times and you strike out three times and that one time you hit a single, you think these fans have something to cheer about? Absolutely not. So don't be disrespectful to the fans. How about you look yourself in the mirror and have a little team meeting and have a powwow and play better baseball? Because in New York, out of any other state, more in New York and Philadelphia, you got the rowdiest crowds, bro. There's a reason why New York is known as the media capital of the world. There's a reason why players from other organizations come to New York and either strive or dwindle. So this is how it is, bro. It's the bright lights. It's the Big Apple. If you're not producing, you're going to hear boos. And there's no way in hell you should be disrespecting the fans and try and blame them and try and be like, oh, we're going to show you up because we're the better players and you guys are just fans. No, they pay to come see you. So give him something to cheer about instead of complaining in the press conference about, oh, I don't like how it feels to be booed.
Yeah, let's be honest. You're getting booed because you're playing like ass Mets players. And that's really as simple as it is, Sander. And I think that one way to describe it is I remember a few years back when defensive players in the NFL were getting upset at Cam Newton because he was doing celebrations in the end zone. And Cam kept it 100% simple. Y'all don't want me to dance? Stop me. Right? You don't want your fans to boo you? Well, play some goddamn good baseball then and give them a reason to cheer. Because like you said, you're under 500 this deep into the season. Listen, the playoffs are about a month away, and right now y'all looking like y'all about to be home early once again. So yes, I totally agree with you, Sander. I'm definitely with the fans here. Of course, I'm a fan as well. I got nothing to cheer for, so I'm totally on their side. And listen, Javi Baez, you mentioned all the acquisitions, Francisco Lindor. We thought, like, listen, they got some firepower. Maybe they're gonna make something happen. And no, they're trying to play Bronx Bomber baseball. Listen, leave the Bombers in the Bronx. That's what we do. That's what we do. And we're trying to actually get away a little bit from that because we're noticing that's not the most, you know, productive way to go about baseball. But listen, I'm with the fans. I think these players are playing hella soft in their emotions. They wouldn't boo you if you were playing good baseball. So to me, all the boos that you've earned, you freaking earned, man.
100%. And stop trying. You know, you guys are too busy with Tim Tebow and his project for the past 3 years. Instead of trying to put actual eyes on the organization, on the real team. It was all a festival with Tim Tebow. He was getting more coverage than the actual team in the MLB, which is crazy, dude. Like, where are your priorities at, New York Mets? Where are your priorities? You guys were legit in the World Series, not like less than 10 years ago. And it wasn't that long ago where they had three aces. They had Matt Harvey, Syndergaard, and DeGrom. I know one of them fell off. They still got Syndergaard. He's coming off an injury. And DeGrom is the GOAT. But, dude, you guys have no excuses to be playing this poorly. I blame Tim Tebow.
Listen, we dropped Tim Tebow a few weeks ago when he finally got cut from Jacksonville. I don't want to talk about Tim Tebow anymore on this show, man. But you're right. They did take that whole thing and made it a big media circus surrounding him. Oh, he's in Double A. He got the Double A Player of the Year. I don't give a damn. What did that do for your professional team? Yeah. Absolute zilp. So, listen, Met players, you guys are playing soft as shit, acting soft as shit. So, if you don't want the fans to boo you, then play, give them something not to boo about. Give them something to cheer about, damn it. And that's really as simple as it is for me, Sander. It really is.
Yeah, man, get a win streak going. At least finish the season strong. Finish the season strong.
Get to 500. Get to 500.
Get to 500, bro. You got more than enough games to finish 500, man. But I'm done with the Mets, man. I'm done with them.
Yeah, me too, Sander. But it is what it is. Keep sucking. At least the Yankees are good right now, right? Anyways, I do want to transition to the NFL, Sander, because it is a couple of weeks from now, and you know what we do here. We do our blazing predictions, but we want to make some nice, bold predictions for the upcoming NFL season because it's the most wonderful time of the year when you get to sit on the couch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday and just watch football and annoy the hell out of our wives and the children. You just get to ignore them for a while we see grown men playing with football. It's the best time of the year. But, Sander, give me a couple of your predictions for the season, man.
All right, bro. Well, I'm going to hit you with three, and I'm going to make them quick, all right? My first bold prediction, okay? I got rookie quarterbacks not being handed the torch. No, 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 no. This 2021, we disrespectful over here. We wake up and choose violence. I got my rookie quarterbacks snatching the torch from these starters. And the rookie quarterbacks I want to highlight on, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. The reason why I don't put Lawrence's there is because he's already a starter. He's already a starter. He's going to start. He's going to shine, okay? He's going to get his. But these three guys, man, I have a feeling these three guys have the potential to take the reins and take these teams to the next level, each and every one of them. Trey Lance, what he's done in the preseason, his footwork is amazing. The kid is smart. You got Kyle Shanahan talking about one of the smartest quarterbacks he's ever listened to talk when they break down film. He's always in there an extra 15, 20 minutes. Justin Fields is being raved about by every starter on that Bears defense. And why I say that? Because that's a nasty-ass defense. That's a defense led by Khalil Mack. Defense. And when Khalil Mack is talking about, dude, this dude got that. He got it. He has it. And not a lot of players come into the NFL with it. So the fact that he has it, I feel like he will be making a lot of noise and taking this Bears team possibly into a wild card spot or in the playoffs. Because guess what? Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be there forever. So that division is going to be prime for the taking for my man Steele.
Aaron Rodgers might not be there next year. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. So, hey, but listen, and then the last guy, Mac Jones, man. Mac Jones, JJ, we've been watching. We've been hearing all the noise, all the preseason, all the training camps. The man had 40 passes one practice, completed 35, and at one point he hit 18 in a row. You know, he's taking the first team snaps from Cam Newton while he's out with this COVID thing. But COVID is, I mean, Cam Newton is going to start, deservingly so, you know. But I feel like Mac Jones, if Cam Newton sits off, he's going to take the reign, and Bill Belichick is primed and ready for Mac Jones because he's basically like a young version of Brady when he came out. He could hit all the throws. And dare I say, he's even a little bit more talented arm-wise than Brady was coming out of college. He can make every throw. So, you know, I'm excited for these rookies.
Mac Jones is definitely more polished than Tom Brady was when he came in the league. Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So, and Bill, look at what Bill Belichick did with Brady. You feel me? So the fact that he has a young kid, young stallion, you know, tall, fits the mold of a quarterback. And he looks New England ready. He looks like he's ready to play in that blizzard cold, in that last practice of the season, was basically a blizzard in New England. He looks like he's ready. And the fact that he was coached by Nick Saban, that's Bill Belichick in college. That's so the transition is beautiful. I feel like those three rookie quarterbacks, like I said, they won't be handed the torch. They about to snatch that motherfucker off these starting quarterbacks. And I'm excited for it, baby, because I love me some Justin Fields, bro. I do. Number two, that bad man Aaron Rodgers, okay? I believe this dude's going to go back-to-back. And it hasn't happened in a very long time, but I believe this dude is going to go back-to-back. Reason being, he's back in Green Bay, where we all know he really doesn't want to be, but he has a chip on his shoulder, an even bigger chip than he had last season. And that, listen, the pick, I knew something was going to be special with Aaron Rodgers this season when he posted that picture with Davante Adams, Last Dance. This is going to be special. I feel like this is going to be very special from Aaron Rodgers. And if there's anyone who can literally win an MVP back-to-back, it's him. So I'm excited for it. I think he's going to be on a revenge tour, Jay. The only team that's really going to be standing in his way is those Tampa Bay Buccaneers led by Tom Brady. So, honestly, Rodgers is basically Superman with red eyes right now. He got the devil look in him right now. He's every pass, he's going to look
let's
at
be, Let's be real. Let's be real. Like, and pardon my French for our fans, but he's trying to give the Green Bay Packers one last fuck you before I'm out the door.
That's what I'm saying. So I was about to say that. With every pass he completes, with every touchdown he throws, he's doing this, looking right at Gutekunst. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Like this is why I'm the bad man. And that's what I'm saying. I think Aaron Rodgers is gonna have a crazy season. Whoever has him in fantasy, God bless you, because you got a number one guy right there. And my third, okay, Jay, you know I'm a Cowboys fan, right? So this might not be too new from Cowboys fans, but I feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to miss the playoffs. And not only miss the playoffs, but I feel like my man Mike Tomlin is going to unfortunately suffer his
look at the face he's giving you right now.
That's right. He's giving me that look. He is giving me that look.
You know what look that is? That's the, come on, son.
Yeah, that's the, I ain't never had a losing season in my entire career. You don't stop now. But yo, Jay, I'm going to be real with you, man. This is why I believe this, okay? The defense, I'm like 70% sure that they're going to be all right with TJ Watt. You know, I think they're going to be all right. But the offense is what scares me, because this isn't Big Ben of 5 years ago. This isn't Big Ben of 3 years ago. And even though Big Ben last season went to what? They got 11-0 and then it started going downhill. We all knew that was the weakest 11-0 team of all time, because the man can't even throw downfield anymore. Coming off an injury, he's a year older. He already looked like an old man 2 seasons ago. So how much better do you really think that Big Ben is going to be doing this season?
I'll give him this. At least he's coming off. He's not coming off the injury this time. He's been able to train, and he does look better physically. He has changed his diet, but he's still a year older, I understand.
He's still a year older. And, Jay, that offensive line, not one player on the offensive line has more than 5 years experience. Two of those guys are brand new guys, and they just lost their key guy in Pouncey. Pouncey retired. So I just don't see how the Steelers would give Big Ben enough time to make his moves, to make the right reads, because Juju Smith-Schuster came back, but let's be real, he only came back because he didn't have no other choice, because ain't nobody else was going to pay what he wanted to get paid. So he came back to Pittsburgh on another deal just to, you know, pat his stats a little bit. But, Jay, they don't even have James Conner anymore. I know they have Najee Harris from Alabama. Yeah. You know, he's a really good running back. But that offensive line isn't the offensive line that James Conner ran behind, that Le'Veon Bell ran behind. This is the offensive line that is, mark my words, will be ranked below 20th this season. They're going to be that bad. I just don't think that this line is going to be that good. And that's why I believe Mike Tomlin is going to miss the playoffs for the first time. And with an extra game, you ain't going to be 8-8. You're going to be 8-9. You're going to be 7-10. Like, it's gonna be a losing record for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, no, I don't feel bad about it because it's really fun, the Steelers, for me. But I do have some friends. I do have some friends who are Steelers fans, and they might be listening. And I'll tell you right now, Jose Rosario, okay, your Steelers were the most fraudulent 11-0 team last season. So the fact that they fell off last season wasn't a surprise to a lot of us. And if you believe that they're going to come into this season a lot better, you know, full force. Dude, this isn't 27-year-old Ben Roethlisberger. This is Ben Roethlisberger who has retirement in his head. He's had retirement in his head for the past 3-4 seasons. So this right here, Jay, I feel like it'll be a farewell tour of, you know, kumbaya, thank you for everything. I think it's going to be Big Ben's last go. That could have been another bold prediction for me. But I really think that the wheels on the train of the Steelers this year will finally fall off, because I just don't think there's enough talent on this team for Mike Tomlin to go, 9-8, because there's an extra game now. Yeah. I just believe that if there's going to be a losing season from Mike Tomlin, it would unfortunately be this one. Sorry, not so sorry, because I hate the Steelers.
Yeah, and, you know, just to emphasize your points again, you know, you did say that the rookie quarterbacks are going to be snatching that torch from their spirit of predecessors. You also got Aaron Rodgers going back-to-back MVP awards, which will be his fourth overall. You know, that'd be definitely an achievement in itself. And then the Steelers are going to fall off, and Mike Tomlin will suffer his first career. And, you know, just to bolster that last point, listen, if I'm the Steelers, you're in a top-heavy division right now, because right now the Ravens are there and the Cleveland Browns look like they arrived. So at the moment, that's going to be a slugfest to see who's going to come out of that division or even compete for a wildcard spot. So, Sander, you might be onto something, but maybe Mike Tomlin, you know, he might have something for you, because he don't like to lose. And even when he doesn't have a quarterback, he somehow still finds a way to win. So we'll find out. But not bad. I like your predictions, but I think maybe you'll like mine, and I'm going to start shooing him your way. You ready? My first prediction is Derrick Henry is going to become the first NFL running back to run back-to-back 2K seasons. Let me explain why. Listen, right now, I've liked Derrick Henry for many years. You know, I'm an Alabama guy. He used to run hard for those guys, and now he's in the NFL, and gradually, as he started getting his carries, he's becoming a two-way man, and now there's no stopping him. Ask Earl Thomas. Ask Josh Norman. There's no stopping this moves with a football. Remember Josh Norman? And listen, for anybody who missed this move during the offseason, the Tennessee Titans went out there and got Julio Jones. So what does that mean? That means you got to put another guy out there, which is leaving that box a little bit more open for Derrick Henry. So if I'm the Tennessee Titans, if I'm Derrick Henry, right now you're poised to go back-to-back 2,000 yards again. And I just think it'll be easier for him to run this year than it was last year. And kind of similar to the Cleveland Browns, they run off the play action. They like to run the ball first. Ryan Tannehill is definitely a serviceable quarterback, but none of us are over here like, oh, yeah, Ryan Tannehill is going to carry us on our back. That's not who he is. I'm not knocking him. I like Ryan Tannehill a lot. But we all know that this goes through Derrick Henry and those guys outside. So if I'm Derrick Henry, run that ball, because those boxes are going to be just a little lighter with Julio Jones out there. And, hey, they're both Alabama boys too, so they both want to see each other strive, man. They definitely do.
That's true.
Yeah. My second, I think you're going to like this one a lot, being a Cowboy fan.
Cowboy Super Bowl? Nope.
I think that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to end up with the worst record in the NFL, Sander. I'm looking at this Philadelphia Eagles team, and I'm looking –
They got Gardner Minshew, Jay. I'm looking
at my phone. I'm trying to pick up rocks. I can't find absolutely nothing about this team that I like. I really don't. I like Jalen Hurts. You know, like I said, I'm an Alabama guy. He was there for a little bit. I like Jalen, but I feel like his supporting cast just ain't it. You know, I like the addition of Devontae Smith that they got, the Heisman winner from last year. I think he's going to be a good for them. But as a rookie, I don't think that he has enough yet in his toolbox to lift this organization. They got a new head coach. We all know that the guys upstairs for Philly are always not the most dependable. And as you mentioned earlier, Philadelphia's crowd, they're gonna play like crap. They're gonna boo the hell out of them. This team isn't gonna want to play for them. They're not gonna want to cheer for them. So I think that they're gonna end up eventually with the number one overall pick, Sander, and Philadelphia's just gonna be a dumpster fire all year.
I would hope so. I pray that is true. I really do.
There you go. And my third, you already know. I love my guy, my homeboy. He got high expectations every year. And I think this year he's going to go out there. He's going to throw 5,000 passing yards for the second time in his career. And the reason is very simple. I feel like he's going to need to. You know, the whole thing with Frank Clark right now on the defensive side of the ball is still a big if he's probably not going to play this year. Tyrann Mathieu, he's dealing with some things. He might be on and off the field. That's still not very sure. But I'm not very sold on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I didn't really like him a lot off the draft. I just feel like he's kind of an undersized back and he doesn't really fit what they do there. I feel like they need a bigger back who's more versatile than he is. And listen, he still has Travis. He still has Tyreek. He still has Mecole Hardman. He still has all those speedsters that they're going to throw the ball around. And listen, what did Travis Kelce say one time during an interview? When you think we're going to pass, we're going to pass. And when you think we're going to run, we're going to pass. And we all know that Andy Reid likes to pass the ball around. So I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to do plenty of that. And I think that he's going to reach the 5,000-yard mark for the second time in his career.
Oh, man, that would be lovely. I haven't really seen that done in a while. So the fact that he could do it, and he can do it.
Absolutely. I mean, he's already done it one time. There's no reason to think that he can't do it. And if he were to do it a second time, he'll join guys like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, who's been able to do it multiple times. So he put himself in an elite company already that he's already in, you know, with some of those guys. So there you have it. My poll predictions for this NFL season. Derrick Henry going back-to-back 2K yards. And it's funny, I remember last year after he did that, I believe that he got all his linemen the 2K chains, the 2K gold chains, so they could be forever immortalized. Like, hey, we were the guys that blocked for Derrick Henry when he did it the first time. So if they were to do it back-to-back again, he might get them like golden Range Rovers or something. Who knows? Like, you definitely got to treat your offensive line when they block hard for you. So I definitely appreciate Derrick Henry's sentiment there. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to be the worst team in the NFL. And my homeboy going to throw for 5,000 yards. And who knows? He might be challenging your guy Aaron Rodgers for a potential MVP. But we'll see. It's still a little too early to tell. But if he were to throw 5,000, he might make a very good case for himself, Sander.
For sure. It's going to be a great – I'm hoping, barring injury, we have a great football season, man. I hope all the really good football players stay healthy and we just have a great season, man. I don't want to see an injury-riddled season. I don't want to see teams that were contenders fall off because of a major injury. I really want to see a legit solid NFL season this season.
Me too, and I'm very excited because we got an extra week, like you mentioned earlier. So an extra week of football makes JJ – very happy.
For sure.
But it's Monday, so we got to catch up on our blazing predictions brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants. With over 35 years of combined experience, make sure you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends from Stir the Pot Sports sent you, especially the duo from Stir the Pot Sports. Haiti, we got you, girl. But Sander, here we are on a Monday. Tell me what your prediction was.
Man, I predicted my boy Woodley was about to knock Jake Paul the fuck out in the third round, and it didn't happen, man. He came close. He came goddamn close. I mean, if he would have had a little bit more oomph in that left, if Woodley was probably like 2-3 more years more younger, he probably would have sat him down. But hey, man, Jake, it was a good fight, man. It was entertaining. I'm not going to hold my head down because Woodley lost. A loss at Jake Paul, like you said earlier, is a little bit embarrassing, but the performance at least that Woodley was able to put on granted him enough respect. You feel me? Like, he didn't look like a clown out there. You know, no. He did the best he could. It was a split decision, you know. 77-74, Jake Paul is out of this world. I don't know who the hell said 77-74. Because at not one point, this is my one thing about the fight and I'll let you get to your thing. At no point did Jake Paul have Woodley hurt the way Woodley had Jake Paul hurt, where he was like grabbing for the rope like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my only thing. Respect to Woodley. I wish you would have got the dub for the culture, but hopefully you got a rematch coming because you got the tat that says "I love Jake Paul" on your damn thigh. You actually got it.
So he did?
Hopefully, yeah. My thing is, yeah,
I gotta see.
And my thing, you know how messed up it would be if Jake Paul says, "Yeah, I don't want to fight you."
Nah, he got to do it now because the whole world saw it, so he can't go back on it now.
Yeah. So I'm excited, man. It was a good weekend, Jay. We had a good weekend. Maybe your prediction was better than mine.
Well, listen, I did predict, and I don't know what kind of world we live in where Jake Paul's making me Skittles, but I bet on Jake Paul, and Jake Paul got me Skittles. So it must be a good world for me because I bet on him, and he came through. I'm surprised. I might bet more Skittles next time. Who knows?
I'm just saying, if Jake Paul being successful with boxing, Tim Tebow should have taken that route instead of trying to play baseball.
Yo, seriously. Listen, hey, Tim Tebow got some body, too. I'm sure getting punched by Tim Tebow is no easy task, but hey. Listen, I knew the Patriots were going to have their last preseason game, and I thought that one guy was going to edge out the competition from each other in the quarterback situation between Cam and Mac and Bill Belichick, the classic Bill Belichick. No, we still have a lot of decisions to make. And the classic Bill Belichick fashion just makes me want to punch him in the head sometimes. But he's a GOAT coach, so I ain't going to disrespect the man. But listen, I just wanted a decision because, listen, Sander, to me, this is really what it comes down to me. I feel like right now Bill Belichick has a big ego battle going on in his head because right now I feel like, listen, I have Cam Newton. He's the veteran. He's probably the best option. But if I could blow the whole league up and put it on notice of Mac Jones, the guy that I picked, and I show my genius, that will make Bill Belichick's legacy even more. So right now, I think that Bill Belichick is really stuck in a hard place between, do I want to do what's right or do I want to feed my ego and potentially blow it up, you know?
Yeah, no, of course, man. I'm with you with that. I think he's conflicted because, you know, he's so known for doing the same rhetoric, you know, favoring the veterans, giving them the respect. And he's in a situation, like you said, Mac Jones is the new Ferrari toy that he just got and he wants to play with him. He really does, and I don't knock him. But I will say, give Cam Newton the respect to start him. Listen, one incompletion, if you want to take him out and put Mac Jones in, all right, I get it. But at least give him the respect that he deserves to start the season. Even though he didn't make his decisions yet, Jay, I still strongly and firmly believe that Cam Newton will be the starter. Even though he deep down inside feels like Mac Jones will give him the better. Because, you know, if you will never know if you don't try him out, right? So, I still feel like Cam is going to start. So, I don't feel like you're still wrong in your decision.
Yeah, my prediction is that I think Cam will start, and I think that's going to be the case. But I did think that he was going to do it over the weekend. Because I just feel like the faster you peel this Band-Aid off, the more the guys in the locker room know, all right, this is who we're going with. We can feel confident with Cam Newton going forward or Mac, whatever. I just don't think that it plays well in the locker room for everybody to be like,
what makes you think they don't know? What makes you think they don't know? What makes you think they don't know? Because the Patriots don't have leaks. Sometimes the team will know. They just won't tell anybody.
I just feel like if they knew, we would know. But then again, this is Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
It's Bill Belichick and the Patriots. If you talk, you're fired. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly. So we'll see. We will see. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also check us out on Twitter at Pot Sports and on Twitch TV / Clovercrest Media Group. Also check out our website for all of our content at clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And check us out on the audios on Spotify and Apple Podcasts under CMG Podcast. Stir the Pot Sports, be right there. Awesome logo. Point at it, Sander. Point at it. Other side. There you go. Look for that. You'll find us. Yeah, Sanders. Yeah, very excited weekend. You know, the whole Jake Paul versus Woodley definitely grabbed my attention. I went to sleep pretty late last night, but it was totally worth it. But yeah, hopefully we get a part two, especially since now you told me the tattoo's there. So I definitely got to go check it out.
The tattoo's there. It was on Twitter. The tattoo's there. But hey, I'm excited for a good week of sports coming up. I'm ready to get with the fans and start talking sports again. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too, man. And, you know, I believe tomorrow will be the deadline for NFL cuts. So we'll know who's officially on rosters by the time we come on Wednesday in the shows. Maybe we'll get a surprise cut that we didn't expect. Who knows?
Damn, Tim Tebow couldn't make that final cut. Damn.
Man, he got cut that first wave, bro. And they had like six tight ends. Imagine. I'm JJ Vargas, my brother Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Wednesday.